Welcome to the wrestling podcast that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on the Two Finger Guns Club Network. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. My guest today joins me from across the Atlantic. He's been a pro wrestler for 7 years. In his first match in 2016, he defeated Pete Dunne for the Attack 24/7 title and has since been working primarily in the Brit Res scene as well as some stateside appearances as well. Shay Purser joins me on today's Smark and Friends. But Shay is much more than a wrestler. When I was first put in touch with him, I was excited because I was going to be talking to a wrestler about their Twitch channel. In his case, twitch.tv/sppurser. But I had no idea how grand Shay's ambitions were. And man, it was enlightening talking to him. It's a conversation I've been eager to share since we recorded, and we're going to do so right after these messages.
Hello, hello, ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between. This is your Rocket Man speaking. Connor Speak, flying back in to let you guys know that Rocketman Explores Season 2 is on its way. This particular season, we're going to be looking at the subject of artificial intelligence, one of the many world-ending scenarios that is eventually going to creep up on us once the plague has finally had its way, so we might as well start talking about it now before an army of Arnold Schwarzeneggers takes us all down. If you want to get the scoop of when everything's coming out, please follow us on Twitter at RocketmanTFGC. Join us. I hope to see you there. It's going to be a good time.
And we are back. Joining me today from Wales, pro wrestler, Twitch streamer, film student, much more, Shay Purser. How you doing, friend?
Yeah, man. I'm all sound. How's things over there with you?
Oh, you know, holding up as best as I can in the maddening world of 2021. Yeah, how you holding up like these days? You know, it feels like a softball question at this point, even though it was so charged at the beginning of the pandemic. But like where you are right now, you know, we're 1 year into this pandemic. It's small talk at this point, so I got to bring it up. How you holding up?
It's like the default question, but like a question yeah. that I think is always evolving. Like every month evolves for people as well.
Naturally.
Yeah. Very different to a year ago and a lot better than I was 6 months ago is like the wrap up for it, I think I'd say. So like I'm very happy. I just found a lot of stuff to do and a lot of ways to keep myself occupied because it's very different to the way the world was a year ago. But I don't know, I ain't complaining.
Absolutely. You know, you've certainly been keeping busy and we are gonna dive into that in just a little bit, I should say. I understand that in Wales, COVID numbers are actually dropping right now. So ear to the ground. Like I understand Wales wrestling is starting to gear back up. Any other word on what the Welsh wrestling scene's like right now?
Nah, nothing's starting back up.
Oh, no?
No, like the United Kingdom. So like COVID numbers are going down, but like there's no news from wrestling promotion for a whole host of reasons. Like the United Kingdom wrestling scene is very... complex and there's a lot that comes back with bringing shows back to the scene, so like I think a lot of people are just not really sure what's going on. As a wrestler, I've heard nothing. Literally comes down to like, as a wrestler now, I'm looking at, okay, what can I do to help the scene start back up? What can I do to start a scene back up or start something back up for myself or start something back up for the people down the road from me, or you know, All that stuff comes into question. So like there'll be something, but like at the moment I don't think anyone has any solid plans. And like unless there's a secret Welsh wrestling cabal I wasn't invited to.
you'll have to forgive me. There's always at least one small lapse in my research. So I'm glad that tradition is holding true on Smirk and Friends. So
I will say you're correct with the COVID numbers going down. We've been on like zero deaths for quite a while now, which is real cool.
Awesome.
Buzzing about that, to be honest. I like the pubs reopen with indoor seating on May 17th, so that's cool.
Oh man, you know, have you gotten your vaccination?
I signed up to become a part of a vaccine trial back in September.
Oh shit.
So the Johnson & Johnson single shot vaccine I had trialed on me in 2 shots, and I don't know if I got the vaccine or the placebo, and I get I find out May 19th. And then Cane Day, amazing. And then if I haven't had it, I get my vaccination the next day from the government. Like, as in, like, a complete coincidence. So, like, they're two completely different things. And they just happened to both book me in one day before and one day after each other. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. I was like, if I... So I got my first shot in September for... No, my first shot in November, I think. No, I signed up in September. First shot in December. And then I got my second shot in February. And now I'm waiting to be unblinded. I'm pretty sure I got the vaccine.
Yeah?
I think so. Apparently a lot of people think they didn't get it. And I'm like, I don't know. I felt pretty fucking tired after that. I was tired after that after that vaccine shot, and I worked out and I could barely do anything, so I'm pretty sure I got the vaccine. I don't know, maybe I tricked myself, but I like the idea that I'm fully vaccinated.
Maybe it was a placebo, but your like willpower was so strong that you actually vaccinated yourself organically.
I got in this argument the other day with someone that I was speaking to about like placebo effects and like how strong could we actually like could a placebo effect actually cure something. Like I got into like a really weird conversation about placebo effects, and they fascinate me now, I'm not gonna lie. I essentially was saying what you said, because I was like, but there are totally times where I should have been exposed to COVID and I didn't get COVID. And if I didn't get the vaccine, I've just given myself the vaccine. Obviously, that's not how that works, by the way. I want to say, before any of that gets clipped up, I obviously know that's not how the vaccine works. And please do your research to not end up like an idiot like me who conspires to think that they can grow the vaccine in their body somehow. It doesn't work. But it was a fun conversation.
A fun experiment in hypotheticals, certainly.
Exactly.
We're going to dive into like your relationship that wrestling has with other aspects of your life. But I want to kind of like leave this question as its own island, you know, limiting the question to the squared circle itself. How badly are you missing wrestling?
Yeah, really, really badly. It's weird because I put out a video back in March saying that I'm being selected with wrestling and all that. But that's because I love wrestling more than ever. To me, and this is something that I've realized during lockdown, loving wrestling isn't doing it every weekend for me anymore. It's not letting it consume my life. It for some people it is, and that's great. Like, fuck, I did it for years and I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but like, that's just not for me anymore. Like, that's not the way I express love. The way I express love is by putting 6 months of a lot into one thing. And like, I don't know. That's kind of what I'm really looking forward to doing. Like being able to speak to somebody and go, hey, I have this idea, or like, hey, I have this idea, or what idea do you have for me? And then being able to get back in a wrestling ring, like training and like the physical mechanics are so much fun to do as well. So like, I've had like a bit of reprieve with like a bunch of local lads. We may go to like an open gym and be able to just do like not wrestling matches, but just like mat training. And like that, like as someone that loves escapology wrestling and grappling and Yave, that's a really cool thing. Cause it means that I can try things that I've probably been watching online for the past 6 months. But like the idea of wrestling in front of a crowd again, and that, yeah, I really miss that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. With the way I'm approaching wrestling, I'm like, now in life, I always want to be missing wrestling. I know that's a really weird thing to say, but I'm in this stage now where I'm like, I took wrestling for granted when I had wrestling. So I'm like, I kind of want to keep myself always wanting wrestling. It's given me a real like appreciation of like, I want to just make wrestling two things for myself. One, something that I want to do, and two, something that I find fun. And a third, as a side note, like something I can look back on and be proud that I've done. So like another reason that I want to wrestle a little bit less is because I was watching some matches where like I might be banged up or injured, and I'm like, that's not my best performance. I'm like legit, it's a really hard thing to say to yourself, to be honest, to watch one of your matches and go like, that wasn't what I liked. Like, and I've watched matches where people be like, this is my favorite match of yours, and I've gone, I disagree. Like I'm like, you've seen me wrestle better matches. Like, I guess that's just kind of the beauty of wrestling as well, the subjectivity of it. And like, I sit there and like, I really sit there though, and I do go like, I don't know, I guess something just hit that night for that person. They enjoyed it. So I'm like, and like, that's the benefit of wrestling every week. So I'm like, I don't know, I really like the idea of having having the balls to only wrestle once every three, like when everything goes back to normal, to be like, I'm only going to wrestle once every now and then, because that's what's fun to me, and that's the way I like to express things. And like the comparison I keep making to everyone is I want to be like KSI in boxing. Like,
okay,
like, you know, he's not the best boxer in the world. You know, he's not, like, you know, there's the best boxers in the world, but you want to watch him fight. You, like, you will tune in because it's interesting. You will tune in because something has got you to watch it. And I think that's, like, prevalent in every single art form that I'm interested in as well.
Sure.
As we're going to move into a bit more than that. So it's kind of obvious. Like, yeah, I really like it when there's just, it's just different and it just feels different. And there's an aura or just the... it just feels like there's some, a different approach to it. And I think that I don't think many people have approached wrestling differently in the past few years. Well, hang on, no, in the past few years, we're seeing a lot more people approach wrestling differently. I want to get in on that trend. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. I think in the past decade, we've seen a lot of people start to approach wrestling very differently. And I'm now like seeing this and it's inspired me. And I've gone, I also want to approach wrestling differently. You know what? You want to know something, right? If I fail, I'll be happy. Like, I just, like, I say this now, I'm just like, my primary thing, like, in 20, 30 years, I want to be able to look back at everything that I did and go, oh, well, that was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Or what was the other one that I said? Something else. Like, I make it up as I go along.
Well, no, that was the third thing. You want to be able to look back on and...
that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. See, I'm not making it up as I go along. Nah, like, I have, like, a rough plan in my head, and I say it on podcasts, and then, like, I watch the podcast back, and I go, that's not what I meant. I go... I'm glad I kept it right that time, though.
Thank you. Dude, you are not alone. I feel the same way, and even as a host. But yeah, like, I get what you're saying. Like, you know, there's certain aspects of my life that maybe I was indulging a little too regularly, and like just what you said kind of resonates. And that's absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Like, it's so true, because like I'm sat here now and I'm like, I think about wrestling, and I'm like, fuck, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I actually, like, I sat down, right, during the pandemic, and I thought, like, if I had to actually do all of that in a month, like, if I wanted to do everything I wanted to do, I'd fucking hate wrestling by the end. Like, I'm being serious, like...
Sure, sure.
I sat down, and I went, I'm sure I'd enjoy it, I'm sure I'd love it, I'm sure I'd get a sick thrill, and I'm sure, like, it would be... If I did the month that I... had in my head, I'm fucking mind-blowing. But I'm sure I'd also sit there after the month and go, my neck hurts, my body doesn't work, I've traveled, I think I worked out, if it would have worked, I would have traveled, like, so ridiculous amount of travel. It would have, like, doubled or nearly tripled the amount of travel that I did for States. So I was like, I would have been so burnt out, and so hurt, and so, like, not the way to come back to wrestling. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy wrestling a lot more and stop trying to really burn myself up doing too much now, because when I put my focus into other things, I've realized it works out for me sometimes. I've not really had the confidence to try other fields before, because I've been wrestling since I was 14, and it's quite like, before wrestling I did quite a lot. I did like cross country, and I did rugby, and I made film, and I did quite a lot. Like, I had quite a varied interest, and then when I started wrestling at 14, I dropped it all. I was like, oh, I really like wrestling, I'm gonna do that. And then, like, gradually as I got older, those interests started to come back, because I think I'd made wrestling my life for 3 or 4 years at that point. And I remember, like, I actually got given advice by one of my trainers, and he was like, have stuff outside of wrestling. He was like, don't let it consume you, because you'll get weird. And I was like, okay. Like, I was real young when he told me that, but I was like, okay, I believe you. That sounds like good advice. And it was, if I'm being honest. Like, it's real true. Because I didn't let wrestling consume me. However, like, I was still dedicating my entire life to it, really. But, like, I still vaguely kept, like, my interests outside of wrestling and focused on them and kind of worked on them lazily, is a really harsh reality to say it, if I'm being honest. Like, I put a lot of energy into wrestling, but not so much engine to other things. And like, I look back now and I go, fuck, what if I would have tried X instead of Y? What if I did Y instead of Z? And I try not to do that, because that's how you drive yourself insane.
Yeah.
The one thing that I can sit back now and kind of look is and go is like, oh, okay, like, I'm now realizing, fuck, if I put my engine to a few things, I can make cool stuff happen sometimes. And like, ultimately, if I want to bring wrestling into that stuff, I can. Like, I'm learning that with Twitch more than anything, actually. Twitch has been such a benefit of learning that stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, perfect sequitur, because I do want to talk to you about Twitch. You've got your channel running, SP Purser. Again, you've seen rapid growth in the past couple of months, like since you started going daily. I introduced it in loose terms before the commercial, but please, in your own words from you, give us the elevator pitch, man. Tell us all about twitch.tv/SP Purser.
Yeah, sweet. So this is my new everything, really. This is where all of my creative energy is going into something called The Process, which is something that I'll span into more as I'm sure we speak, but Twitch is the biggest part of it. Twitch is the home base. Twitch is where, if you want to see me and see what I'm doing, that is where to go. I'm very lucky, and I recently got announced publicly that I am a part of Twitch's Sports Accelerator program. I am one of the few originals in it as well.
Congrats.
12 that was original in it. Other names on it as well now since are, actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but there are other people on it as well that are really fucking cool. Like, my main focus with Twitch is a few things. One or two I have to keep kind of vague because I haven't announced them yet, but right sure. Now, it's to platform other people that I don't think are getting the platform they deserve. That is the underlying thing constantly, and the reason that I started the Twitch. The second thing is to give me a creative outlet, because I don't really feel like I've had one. And the third is also to give myself a platform and just kind of showcase what I'm like, and give my, like, because in wrestling, in like the 7 years I've been wrestling, I've had all of my career crafted by other people and crafted very well at points. Like, and that is the thing that I want to underline, by the way, when I say this. Like, I am not saying that in a disparaging or an ungrateful way, a very, very grateful way at that. Like, a lot of people have helped me and guided me, and I'm very, very grateful to some of the people that have helped and guided me. But I really want to make my own stuff now. And I've got, like, such a rapid-fire brain for making things and creating content that, like, I need a platform where you can do anything. And Twitch really is that platform. Like, I think we're seeing a meteoric rise in the amount of wrestlers using Twitch, which is awesome, because I think they're all seeing how powerful of a platform it is, which is great. I think we're also seeing a rebuttal in that with some major companies realizing how powerful it is and not wanting people on there, which is understandable because it's a fucking powerful platform, man. Like, as someone that's working with Twitch and getting, like, an insight into, like, what the fuck I need to do to be a good streamer and be a bad streamer. Like, a lot of the decisions I make now revolve around Twitch. Like, a lot of the decisions in my career, I'm like, okay, will that benefit me on Twitch? What won't that? Like, I believe next week I'm 6 months on the platform and I'm nearing 1,000 followers, which is...
That's fast.
And this is, like, the thing that I'm actually insanely proud of is, I wouldn't have spoken like this a year ago. A year ago, I would have been like, oh, I guess Twitch is going okay, blah, 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 blah. But fucking I like it. Like, no, I'm really fucking proud, if I'm being honest. Like,
you should be. Absolutely.
I ain't going to bullshit people. Like, I fucking really like what I'm doing on Twitch, and I'm really happy with it, and I've got so many ideas that I'm going to create, and I don't know, I'm really proud of what I'm doing, and Twitch is like this, it's really facilitating what I want to create and like the ideas. And in the meantime, which is kind of currently what I'm creating, especially with daily streaming, I'm just kind of introducing people to who I am. Like, I feel like going back to what I originally said, like, I haven't been able to introduce myself. Like, I've had several iterations of me introduced, but I've never said, hey, this is me, by the way, guys. And I'm learning quite fast on Twitch that people kind of like me. Like, they, not massively, they like to see me in pain. They like to see, but they like, but the key feature is that I'm always there. I'm just excited to introduce people to what I'm about and like create some content that I think is cool, and maybe watch other people enjoy it and see them create cool content as well and go, oh, fuck yeah. Now I'm going to create some more cool content, and maybe you'll create some more cool content. And then we can just bounce back and forth like that. Like, and that's not even like, because I'm one of these motherfuckers as well. Like, where you tell me, like, oh, I don't like what you did, I go, good. Don't do something about it. Please do. Like, I want to see you create something really cool now. Like, if I pissed you off, go and make something better. I literally mean, like, please go and make something better. Like, because you will then make better content than me. You will then do really well. And I'm really glad that I could inspire you to do that. Like, legit, like, I heard people speaking like this before, and I was like, oh, you're all fucking geniuses. Yeah, that's absolutely the way we should look at life. We should all be trying to create the best content ever and one-upping each other, but in, like, a friendly way, hopefully. I will say as well, the person that made me realize this is a creator called Jeff Ramsey, who began off at Rooster Teeth and started Achievement Hunter. I'm not, like, a huge, huge gaming guy. I used to be massive, massive. Not as much anymore. The way he speaks about people disparaging his achievements and credits, revolutionary. Like, I have never heard a man speak like that in my, and I accredit the man for speaking that way, and I totally try and adopt that. I will say now, I don't do it as well as him, but the way he speaks about, like, if I really have created something that you fucking don't like you really hate it, please make something better. Like, please just go and create something better than me, because that means that you can show that you can do it better than me, and that can show everyone that they can do it better than me, and then we'll get better content.
You know, another thing that fascinates me about, like, what you're doing with Twitch, aside from the content, is the motivations behind it. Of course, now I'm learning that some of it is spite-driven, but the other motivation that I really appreciate, and you've been sharing this on Instagram, is, like, you want to be more seen as more than a wrestler. And aside from Twitch, you know, you've been you've started to document that journey on IGTV and things like that. So let me ask you, like, what makes reshaping this perception of yourself so important to you?
So that's a great question, and something that I'm really actually sculpting now. I've watched a lot of creators recently. Essentially, I sat down, like I said, I've had my career guided by a lot of people, and I'm very, very grateful for it. And I sat down and went, okay, what the fuck do I want to be then? Because I went, I don't want to be, because, like, I looked at what, like, all of, like, a certain style of wrestling. I really do, and I'm going more into videos about that and why I love it, but, like, that's wrestling. The way that wrestling is portrayed commonly is quite bland, in my opinion, or quite of its time. Like, it's World of Sport Escapology wrestling, and I love it. However, I understand having it presented in the way it's been presented is, like, hard to make appealing, or, like, hard to make people like. I think Zack Sabre Jr. has done a great job of, like, the escapology, but obviously he's also mixing several other styles, and I would as well, don't get me wrong. I can't do wrist locks for half an hour, I'd bore myself. But I look at it and I go, right, I'd like to, like, kind of show that part of the wrestling, but without the personalities in it. I'd like to put my personality on that. I'd like to put my flavor on that. And then I look at, okay, what's my character going to be? And I go, well, I don't just want to be a Black Trunks wrestler. I've done quite a lot of really funny stuff over the years.
Shefu?
Yeah, like, Shefu's, like, my favorite thing. Like, I love doing that, and it's not dead either. I'm definitely going to keep doing it, but just less. I'm a nerd, man. My career actually links. Like, I've made my ridiculous career link somehow. Like, I've got a whole book and backstory where, like, all my career links and shit like that, and, like, the weird things that I've been putting in one-off promotions make sense in this weird lore, and, like, just because, like, I'm a nerd, I'm a fucking film studies student, like, that's what we do. But, like, I was looking back and I was going, like, I bet when Tyler the Creator finishes his career, he's going to be so proud of what he did. And then I went, I bet when, like, Lil Nas X with the Montero video, I bet he's going to be really proud when he gets to look back on that in 20 years. Then I look back at myself and I go, am I going to be proud of what I look back on? And I go, yeah, I'll probably be proud of what I look back on, but I don't know if it represents me.
Mm.
I don't even know if just being a wrestler represents me, if I'm being honest. I think Twitch represents me pretty cool, to be honest. Like, I think that is a very important aspect of my life I've ignored for quite a long time. I am, like, as much as I don't seem it, because I have been around wrestling a long time. I have the shaggy beard, I listen to hipster music, and I fucking wear plaid sometimes. But I am very much a Gen Z, and I did grow up on YouTube. I did grow up on this, like, social media generation, and, like, other creators. Like, I've got a whole list of creators that have influenced me. Like, Tyler the Creator is one. There's a YouTuber called Will N.E. who literally just made videos bullying 12-year-olds, essentially. And, like, to put it in the blandest of terms, he bullied 12-year-olds in a comedic way. And it worked, and he made a whole brand off of it. And I I bet he's going to be really proud when he gets to look back on that in 20 years. Any wrestler could as well. And this is the crucial thing with every single thing that I say. When I say all of this stuff, I am not special. Anyone could be doing this. Like, I encourage people in wrestling to, because the more people that realize what I'm doing is a really fucking good thing to do, the better wrestling will get. Because, like, and I'm not talking about, like, this whole, like, other altruistic where I'm, like, trying to work out what I am in wrestling and explain. I literally mean, like, Twitch. I mean, like, just, like, creating a brand for yourself. Like, because that's what I've watched all these people do. They put their work first. They put their creative outlet first, as opposed to just, like, goals. I know that sounds really weird, but, like...
No, I get you. I think I get you.
I don't believe that, like, Tyler, the creator, ever went, I want to win a Grammy. Like, as an exact, I don't ever think he sat there and went, I really want to win a Grammy. I think he went, I want to create something that's going to make me laugh. I want to create something that's going to explain this. And he says that a lot. Like, I listen to him, the way he speaks more than most, because I think he's a very interesting mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it all comes back down to, though. Like, I just want to be able to be like those creators where they started off with something. And, like, fundamentally, they are still that. Like, Tyler, the Creator, is still a rapper. Will Any is still a YouTuber. I am still a wrestler. But I also want to create some other really cool stuff.
Sure.
A couple of things in the pipeline right now where I'm like, this could be really fucking cool. One thing that I'm working on massively is fashion. I see a lot of clothing and I go, oh, I'd really like to wear that.
Okay.
A lot of my friends go, oh, I'd like to wear that as well. Or I see a lot of people go, oh, I don't know what I want to wear, but I really like the way this person dresses, or I really like the way that person dresses. And I go, I could help you dress like that quite easily. Or I could, like, I don't know. I view everything that I create as a creative outlet or something that represents me. And I think clothing is a big, big fucking part of my identity. I'm a very identifiable person by the way I dress.
Okay.
And I want to be able to just truly dress the way I want, and I think a lot of other people will appreciate that fashion. I don't know, I just want to make that clothing now. I want to make the clothing without that one thing. That, like, I want to get rid of that one thing and put a different logo on it, and maybe make it a little bit softer, and maybe make it a little bit easier to get, and maybe match it with some shorts, and maybe match it with a hat, and maybe counter color it, and maybe, I don't know, then release a poster based off of it, and then maybe that poster can inspire me to fucking do an underground submission tournament in wrestling, and maybe that underground submission tournament can become a fucking professional wrestling show, and then maybe that professional wrestling show can have a music video tied to it, and then maybe that music video can get submitted for the Grammys, and then next thing you know, I'm on Mars.
You never know. You never know where these creative paths can take you. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, hey, does that mean, like, that we might expect, like, a fashion element to your Twitch channel?
Maybe not Twitch.
No.
When I say I like know what I like to wear, what I mean is I'm contacting the fashion designers that I know and go, I like this. How do I make this work? And then okay. They will help me frame it. And the really cool thing about what I'm releasing in my merchandise as well, by the way, is the artist that makes the merchandise, I don't think many people do this, they're getting a cut of the profit.
Okay.
I am doing that with this. The artist that I've got to do is Hanwar, who hosts a weekly wrestling mixtape on my Twitch channel, and she is very, very good, and she hand-draws everything that I'm doing for the first merch drop. Well, it's not, well, the first clothing drop, it's not a merch drop, I need to get out of the habit of calling it that. But yeah, like, Hannah does this amazing thing where, like, I contact her and I, like, give her, like, a vague idea. Well, actually, I say that the first piece of work I got off of her, I literally said, hey, I really like your art. Here's what I'm doing now, and sent her my first video that I put on IGTV and just went, can you make me a piece of art, please? And she made me an incredible piece of art that's on my Instagram now.
I've seen it. It's beautiful.
Really, really amazing piece of art. Then I went, I want to release a whole merch. I want to release a whole clothing drop based off of this one piece of merch you've made. Again, like that weird spiral that I just told you. I do that sometimes creatively with my own stuff where I just go, yeah, tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, connecting the dots.
Yeah, and she went, really? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So, like, because of how inspirational she was on the clothing, why she deserves a cut. Like, that is the best way I can put it. Like she is so intrinsic in this content now that, like, yeah, she probably should make money off of it. And that's my view on it. Like, I making sure people get their due or they're shown their worth more than anything. Like, if someone is shown their worth, that's what matters.
Yeah.
If the person is satisfied with the amount of worth they've been shown, okay. Now, I think one thing that is really cool with this is that I'm using a design just going, you like their art on my stuff, they should also get a cut of this.
Makes sense.
I'm very selective with who I work with. I am hard to work with at points. I'm not disillusioned from that. Not because I'm a prick or anything like that, but because I'm just so... I really like other people's input. So I try not to give direct, like, strict instruction. I may set boundaries at points or something. Like, I may be like, oh yeah, maybe work within this parameter, work within that parameter, but like, I'm not a big fan of restricting people's work if they have vision as well. If someone has no vision, like if someone doesn't, someone just wants to be given something, I'll happily do that. But like, I don't know. I really like working with creatives and I really like working with people that can kind of like, it, like if I give them an idea, they'll go like, oh no, what about this? And I'll go, oh fuck, okay, you said no. What's your idea? And then like I can go no as well, and then we'll find an in between. And I really like that. Or sometimes I have a miracle with Hannah where she just, everything she creates is really cool, and I just go, oh, sick, yeah, let's put that on her, let's put that out, that's awesome, let's do that right now. Yeah, I think like it's cool that I found like a very good core of people that are helping me with like the character and the content and this creation side of stuff. Like I'm one of those motherfuckers, man. If I'm gonna do something, I do it properly. So like I've got like a I've got like some master students helping me with some stuff. I've just got a lot in the pipeline, and I don't know, very, very excited. And I like the influences. I like where everything's coming from. It's different. Like, I'm actually like, it's weird. I'm not like that. My first day off from streaming is my birthday. I'm kind of not looking like, I'm not looking forward to the idea of I'm not allowed to stream. Like, I think if like, I don't think I'm going to want to. I was like, oh, I don't like the idea of not being able to stream.
Dude, when Rye Levy put us in touch, like, I knew that, you know, you had this outside project and what your direction was, but I had no idea the scope of your ambitions. And this is just the coolest thing to hear of all these things you got cooking in the pipeline.
I've got like a very shoot for the moon, you'll end in the stars mentality. And like, it's the reason I don't speak about what I'm doing too much, because I'm very much, if that's saying shoot for the moon, I'm shooting for Mars right now. Like, I'm going Elon Musk levels. Like, and obviously I don't expect myself to hit them. I really don't. I want to fail. Like, because then I'll learn and I'll be able to go, okay, I fell short there because of this reason. Okay, let me shoot for Mars again. Oh, fuck, I fell short again. Let me shoot for Mars again. Like, fuck, I fell short. Because I've always said, like, I don't care about undefeated fighters. I don't care about perfect people. They're boring. They're fucking boring, man. I don't care about a perfect human being. Like, yeah, like, they're great and all that. But, like, if you give me, like, a fucking pristine bar to drink in or a grotty little pub with a bit of character, I want the pub. I want the pub every time. I want to go and get pissed with the old man rather than the fucking picture perfect human beings for Instagram sat next to me. Like, because the old man's going to have stories, the old man's going to have substance to him, the old man's going to have a laugh with me. Whereas, like, I don't know, sat at the bar just for photos and always the most fun, even if it seems like it should be.
Dude, that absolutely resonates. Sir, I wanted to put you on the spot with this last question, but you've kind of gone through and you have already answered it, but I'm going to ask you, like, here in plain terms. Say within a month, miracle happens, wrestling is in full swing, everything's going, the world is making sense again. You are offered a position in wrestling that will keep you busy full time, on the road virtually nonstop, leaving no time for these other pursuits.
I think I'd say no right now. I think I wouldn't do it. Simply because I'm only going to be this age once. And historically in wrestling, there's a lot of wiggle room for when you get older as a male especially. And to create a body of work to one day then essentially it comes down to, I'd really like to be able to wrestle and create right now rather than just wrestle, because it would just suck the fun out of it for me. Because there are some people that's all they want to do. All they want to do is wrestle, and all they want to do is get in a wrestling ring every day. And like, I think I want to get in a wrestling ring every day. I think about it a lot. If like wrestling suddenly had to dominate my life again, like if COVID didn't happen, like if I just carried on like trucking through wrestling, how different life would have been. And it's a very different thing. And I think a year ago you asked me that question, I'm biting your hand off. Yes. I think now quite like this right now. I think this is cool. Trust the process, right?
Trust the process. I adore that. Shay, wow. Thank you for joining me in the middle of your night. Before I let you go, like, I know where you're on social media, but please let the audience know. Drop your Twitch link one more time. And of course, let us know where we can find your merch store.
Yeah, absolutely. So twitch.tv/SBPersa is the big one. Trying to hit 1,000 followers before 6 months. We're close. I think we're like 90 off now.
Yeah.
Less than that. Like 80 off now. And we've got a couple more days to do it. It's my... by the time this comes out, we will just be hitting a month. So you'll probably know by then. But even then, I'm giving myself wiggle room. Like, 1 or 2 days, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So like, if I hit within a month-ish, we're going to call it 6 months. And I'll be happy about that. Regardless, like, yeah, go and check me out there more than anything. With the merchandise and clothing, shopshayfu.bigcartel.com is my old store. However, I'm not going to be using that from now on. And there is something else in the pipeline, which is also the reason you can't find any of the merchandise right now, because I was going to release it in mid-May on a Big Cartel. And then I went, tell you what, I think I can do something a little bit cooler. And now I'm in the pipeline to work across, and the merchandise has completely changed. And I listened to too many Tyler, the Creator interviews. but yeah, I'm mainly the things that I always say, it's SP Persa on everything. And then TikTok is Shay Persa. Keep track on there, because TikTok is a platform where you can grow, and I want more followers. So yeah, that's the main thing. But please, yeah, just go and check me out. Like, jump into a stream. I say this, if you watch me on a platform and you think that I came across even like remotely likable or dislikable, and you want to let me know, there's a live chat function right there. Let me know. And if you dislike me, let me know how you're going to make content better than me. I'd really appreciate it.
And much appreciated to you again for joining me tonight, Shay. Thank you so much.
No worries, man.
Motivated people motivate people, and man, that was such a great conversation with Shay. There are parts of that I'm going to carry with me for some time. Ambitious people, man. The world just needs more of them. Shay Persa, join me on today's episode. Please keep an eye on him in the ring, and be sure to follow or subscribe to twitch.tv/SPPersa. Dude's a creator with a capital C, and he is a man to follow. If you like this episode of Smark and Friends, I have two more that you should check out. Last year, when I started speaking to wrestlers on this show, one of the first people I welcomed was Addie Starr and her boyfriend Michael, also talking about their Twitch channel. More recently, I spoke to the filmmakers behind the documentary Out in the Ring. One of said filmmakers, Rye Levy, put me in touch with Shay, leading to this episode. More recently, I spoke to the filmmakers behind the documentary film Out in the Ring. One of said filmmakers, Rye Levy, put me in touch with Shay, leading to this episode. If you like what you heard on this episode or any of the episodes I just mentioned, please head over to ratethispodcast.com/smarkandfriends. Leave us a kind word, leave us a few stars. Much appreciated. You can follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's @smarkandfriends. On Instagram, you can follow @smark.mouth. And you can, of course, follow the Two Finger Guns Club on Facebook. That's where you're going to get all your TFGC content. That includes Smark and Friends, that includes Rocket Man Explorers, Foul Mouth, and a whole mess more coming down the pipeline. Thanks for listening. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.
This has been a Two Finger Guns Club production. Pew, pew.